everybody. Welcome to Girl Gone Frugal again. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, and today we're talking about setting financial goals you can actually achieve. This is episode number 4 in the Foundation series, a series of 7 podcast episodes designed with the idea of creating the best foundation for your upcoming year. One of the things I discovered when looking back at really successful years, like years where I just kicked butt, I took no prisoners, and I just did really well, was that I had achieved that success based on having a really solid foundation in these different areas that I'm covering in this series. The different shows include the following: how to set goals for the upcoming year, how to choose a word for the year and not forget it, creating the best vision board for your year. I'm using your year a lot. Setting financial goals that you can achieve, which is today's episode. The importance of creating a money manifesto. I don't know why, as a personal finance blogger, I haven't done that before, but I did it at the end of last year, and I'm really excited to have one moving forward. If you're interested in seeing what my money manifesto is, you're very welcome to grab one as well. I'll provide the link. Picking the right conference to move yourself forward in your life and in your year. And finally, why networking has to be on your to-do list. Thank you so much for those of you who've been listening to the Foundation series. If you've just discovered the Girl Gone Frugal Again podcast, I will also provide a link to the first episode so that you can get started. And by that, what I mean is the first episode for the Foundation series. Also, I would love for you to subscribe to the show and let people know about it. Get the word out. If this is your first time listening to Girl Gone Frugal Again, thank you so much for stopping by. It is also an audio production of the website Michelle is Money Hungry, which is a personal finance and lifestyle website. So please do check that out as well. So let's get started. Okay, so it's the beginning of the new year. Everyone gets all excited about starting on a different financial goal. It could be anything from saving more money, investing more, paying off debt, which is a huge one. It's something that I've been involved in for quite a while now. Saving money, the list is long. Buying a home, actually, because we're still in winter, but heading towards spring, quote unquote spring, as the East Coast and Florida, oddly enough, gets battered by a crazy winter hurricane storm called, I don't even know, it's got the strangest name. But anyway, it's that time of year when you are really thinking about your money, thinking about what worked in the previous year and what didn't. And so one of the things that I've noticed as a personal finance blogger is that a lot of times people don't even begin because it just feels so overwhelming. People get a lot of naysayers. They'll mention that they want to be debt-free, and people will say things like, well, why bother? YOLO. Why are you sacrificing like this? Like, how can you do this? And so you can get really discouraged and distracted from achieving financial goals that may really push your life forward. Other reasons why people may decide to forego focusing on a financial goal is they're scary. It feels like all of your mistakes are like magnified. Like every financial mistake you've ever made, it just feels like when you're looking at achieving a goal, you have to walk through that landmine of mistakes to get to the other side. And who wants to do that? It's overwhelming. You don't know where to begin. I'm a testament of I just started the most ridiculously messy way possible. And I can't even begin to express that is not probably the best way to do it, but I started. And so I decided to do this episode with that in mind, as a person who really had a very all over the place process. Like, I wasn't creating endless Excel spreadsheets or Google spreadsheets. I wasn't looking at my money to the dime. I was side hustling like a crazy person, but that was because my overhead was just so high. I was having to side hustle to just accommodate my overspending, which I didn't know. Like, I had so many bad habits, I didn't even know where to begin. So if you're a person who is in a situation like that, I totally understand why you may decide, why bother? Well, we're going to walk through this. I'm going to tell you why you should bother, and really encourage you to stick to the end of this episode. I can't say this enough. Before you start on any financial goals, please do the following. Find a community of like-minded people. I was very fortunate in that I found the FinCon personal finance community. FinCon, I think, is the largest personal finance community in the United States, if not the world. It is comprised of bloggers, vloggers, podcasters, people who are in banking, investing, CPAs, anything, excuse me, in the personal finance sphere. But what makes this community really, really special is a lot of these people started where you might be at now. When I found FinCon, I was so depressed, so overwhelmed, freaking out, and I began reading all these amazing stories. And I loved it. I loved reading these stories and rooting for these people and just being so excited about the journeys that these different personal finance personalities, really, if you want to think about it that way, were just engaging in all these different experiments, and just they were their guinea pigs. They were on ground zero of changing their lives. And I thought, well, I'm not alone anymore. Finding that community really, really got me to change what I thought could happen, because I understood that I wasn't alone and that people were taking targeted actions to change their lives. And I also noticed that every single person's process was completely different. You need to read the following book that I've talked about throughout the other episodes as well of the Foundation series, which is Overcoming Under-Earning by Barbara Stanny. I will include a link in the show notes so that you can grab that book. I can't recommend it enough. You must do the work within the book. So there are different exercises that she has within the book. So please do the exercises. Please really spend some thoughtful time reflecting on the different things that are brought up in this book. I really wish I had had this book available to me when I began my personal finance journey. I didn't, but I do think that the tools you need sometimes show up at the times that you need them. So I had a difficult year in 2017. I did pay off almost $13,000 in debt, but it was still a very stressful year for many reasons. And this book really helped re-energize and refocus me as I move forward into 2018. You need to believe that you can achieve the goal that you're setting. So if you say to yourself, I'm going to pay $100,000 off this year of debt, and you own a home and you decide to sell your home and you live in an area where that home costs that, you know, has enough appreciation to do that, then that makes sense that that could be something you could say. But if you are making $25,000, you haven't grown your income, you got to think about what do you need to do to facilitate the change that you want. So I don't want to say to you, no, you can't say that you will pay off $100,000 if you at your starting point are making $25,000. Not at all, quite frankly. I want you to believe what you believe. But if you're going to say that, then you need to take that next step and think about how are you going to make money to grow your income. One of the really inspirational people on Instagram in particular is CC from the Six Figure Chick. And she is really one of the most inspiring people that I've ever come across. I religiously watch what she does, and I can't even express how amazing she is to me. She started from making $20,000 a year at her old job to almost $1 million via Instagram and selling what she knows. So she has hustled. She did it while having cancer twice, and she just retired her mom. So that's why I am very hesitant to say to someone, well, if you only make $20,000, it's not possible for you to do this. That's bull. But the next thing would be, if you say this, what's the work you're going to do to get to that point? So just think about that. Commit. When you set personal goals, financial goals, any kind of goal, you're really going to have to commit. And sometimes it's easiest to commit in tiny increments of time. So it could literally be because there's so much stuff going on that you're committed, but you take, and this is a good philosophy in general, you take one moment at a time, one day at a time, and you do the best you can in that day. That's it. You commit to one day and you rock out that day, and then you get up again. and you rock out that day, and then you get up again, and then you rock out that day, because consistent, focused micro actions will move you forward. And then as you get into a rhythm, you can make adjustments. You can make adjustments to the amount you're paying. You can make adjustments to your process, whatever it is. But I would just say that focus first, commit, make small, tiny actions on a daily basis, take small, tiny actions on a daily basis. And then when you feel confident and comfortable enough, make changes to facilitate getting to the end of your goal faster. Now you're asking yourself, well, okay, we've done all this. What's the best way for me to actually achieve this financial goal that I've set for myself? And personal finance people get really all up in their heads about this, and it's really annoying. So you'll get people who are like, well, you need to start with the credit card with the highest percentage that you owe. You'll get people saying, well, you've got to do the Dave Ramsey method and, you know, snowball it. Then you get people who are like, do the snowflake method, which is where you throw lots of tiny amounts of money on the smallest debt. It's almost like the snowball, but anyway, you just chip away with tiny little snowflakes of money. And then a snowflake, as you know, can become a snowball or an avalanche. So it becomes quite powerful. But anyway, or you can work like an insane person for a year and get like 7 jobs. And I'm not joking. I've met people who've done this and then just knock it out. Here's the thing. You need to do the thing that works for your personality. I am so sick and tired of people telling other people like the way that is best. It's all crap. The way that is best is the way that you will actually commit to, period. Because if there's no process that you're committed to, you're not going to take action and you're not going to focus. So it doesn't matter what your process is, just figure out what it is for you, what will work and what you like and what you will actually commit to. I just told you that I was all over the place. I'm not saying I liked it, but that was what I did. And part of the reason why was because I was overwhelmed. I had way too many debts. I had so many debts. I think like I'm now, because I was disorganized, I have to go through all my paperwork and figure out the number. But I'm thinking I had around 20 to 30 bills, not including my student loans, or actually including my student loans. That's a lot of people to deal with. That's a lot of calls, because obviously when you're dealing with that many people and you have like a financial mess, everything's a mess. That was a lot of calls. That was a lot of mail. That was a lot of emails. I can't even explain to you how stressful it was to be me during that time. Just figure it out, whatever process works for you, and rock your own process. If you need to create a hybrid, do the hybrid. Before you get started on your process, though, with whatever process that may be, there are some general actions you should take. The first one is do a financial audit. I can't stress this enough, actually. I was really shocked as I went through my personal finance journey in the beginning. When I did my audit, I was just like, holy crap. Like I knew I was overspending, but it was really amazing to find all the money that I was wasting from doing the audit. It is actually an action that I take several times throughout the year, in particular at the end of each year and at the beginning of each year, so that I can eliminate anything that's not going to serve me well financially. But in the beginning of my personal finance debt freedom journey, I had to do an audit. I had to look at everything and be like, is this important? Is this moving my life forward, or is this making me crazy? Because ultimately, when you owe all those people, it's going to make you crazy. And there are a couple of things you need to look at that you could free up cash from. App subscriptions. So this year, I was looking at some random amounts of money that were just leaving my account. So I was like, what did I do? They were app subscriptions that I wasn't really using. So these apps also had a free option as well. And so I just flipped to the free option, and now I don't have to worry about getting charged for this because I'm not paying for it. If you have dating apps actually, and you're not using them, get rid of it and save the money. Look at ongoing expenses. So ongoing expenses could range anywhere from your housing costs, food, personal care, upkeep, that kind of thing. Pets. Pets are expensive, but these are your pets. I'm not a pet person, but maybe there are ways you can cut the cost of your pet, your internet, transportation. And if you have a storage unit, please, for the love of God, get rid of that thing. I actually had a storage unit that I was paying for. And by the time I stopped paying for it, it was $115 a month. That's a lot of money over a year. That's over a grand. It's about $1,200 a year. Look at your car. Look at your insurance. If you have a car that you're paying $600 a month on, not including your insurance, your gas, any upkeep, that's a lot of money. Look at everything, do an audit, and then slash whatever you can. When I did that, I ended up freeing about $1,125 a month. It's about that much. At this point, I freed up a lot more money, but I will say I ended up freeing up $13,500 a year after doing a financial audit. It took a while to get used to everything, but I will never go back. And at this point, I've cut even more from my monthly expenses. I've experienced no change in quality of life other than my quality of life has improved because I owe fewer debts. I would also highly encourage you to do a 1 month no shopping challenge or no spending challenge, depending on where you think you should focus. I actually did mine for a year, saved $4,000 and a lot of time. It's amazing how much time you can save when you're not shopping all the time. I'll also include a link to my post on how to do that. Sign up for a savings app. I used to use an app called Digit, but I now prefer to use a platform called Rise. It's awesome. I'm going to share a link with you. I like Rise because you can have small amounts of money allocated towards savings and you can change it. You can stop it when you don't have enough money to save. I think it's always a good idea to save a little bit just to be in the habit of saving. I will be honest and say that saving money is a really hard skill for me. And that's part of the reason why I think it's so important, even when you're paying off debt, to save small increments of money because you're building a habit. I know a lot of people will poo-poo this, but I just think as I observe the habits that I have, the reason I have the habits is I built up that muscle. So it seems like it's a good idea, even if it's a small amount of money, that you set money aside because you're building up the idea that that's important. Finally, spend some time journaling and being just kind of speaking with yourself, if you will. I am woo-woo. Speaking with yourself about what you think is important in your life. And by that, what I mean is sometimes people pretend or lie to themselves about the things that they can do without. I'm going to be candid and say that I personally do not want to eat bad food. I don't want to eat bad food. I don't want to eat fast food. I haven't eaten fast food in years. It is not a thing I'm willing to do. It's a non-negotiable. So even though I'm paying off debt, I refuse to eat bad food. So that means I had to figure out ways to afford good food and also budget for it and approach how I bought groceries differently. I use an app called Ibotta, which is a general savings app, but I use it primarily for groceries. And it's a great way to also help other people save as well. I'll share my affiliate link in the show notes too. I love, love, love Ibotta. And it's also a Colorado-based company. And as you know, I'm a huge fan of supporting local business. I've also met the CEO and he's just the coolest guy. So, please do check out Ibotta if groceries is an area where you want to focus and you don't want to change the quality or diminish the quality of the food that you eat as you go on a journey of saving up money to put a down payment on a home, saving up money to invest more so that you can reach financial independence early, save money, really, that's a lot of it, so that you can pay off debt or you're just trying to earn more money so you can do something fun. Whatever it is you're trying to do, definitely use the tools out there to help you facilitate that. And honestly, in 2018, we are so lucky that there are all these things online to help us with some of these things. If you like fashion, can still use Ibotta because you can actually log into the Amazon portal via your Ibotta app and then get rebates back. So again, use these apps wisely. So you shouldn't be shopping all the time. Obviously, hopefully you've cut that down as you work towards your financial goal. But for those moments when you're like, well, you know, I need to purchase like a new pair of boots because it's Snowmageddon out there, then get some cash back and be savvy and smart about it. Spend that 1 minute to log into your Ibotta app and then go to the Amazon portal through the app and save your money. Because think about it this way, every hour that you spend earning that money, that's your money. So don't let go of it so easily. I will let you know that as of 2018, I now have, let me think, 7 debts left. And of those 7 debts, 2 of them are mortgages. One is my mortgage and the other is my mom's mortgage, which she doesn't know I'm going to be paying off, hopefully by the end of this year, if at all possible, if I can get my blogging income up, which is a huge goal of mine. And I'm going to say going from 20 plus debts, 20 to 30, I don't even know, there's so many, to 7, 2 of which are just living expenses. So really 5. It's a big deal. I don't get calls. I hardly get mail. I don't get emails. I don't get incessant, hey, you owe money. Hey, you need to pay this. Hey, the due date for this is. Hey, I get none of that. I have so much mental space freed up. My energy is through the roof. I'm just focused. So if you are looking to start a financial journey or focus on a financial goal, please do it. I can't emphasize it enough. Start today. I will say that for people who have large amounts of money that they're dealing with or a really big mess like I had, I don't want you to focus on the amount of time. I want you to focus on the result. That's it. Because as time goes on and you learn more, you will accelerate the process. One of the tasks that I've given myself for this year is to spend some time talking to people who did not experience an accelerated debt repayment process. I think that there are a lot of stories where you hear about people who are like, I worked for 7 months and I paid off $700,000. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. And I think that it puts people off like their journey isn't sexy enough, that their long-term journey isn't worth it. And I'm going to say, as a person who's in a long-term personal financial journey, it's worth it. Again, if you live to be 100 years old, then the 7 years that you 4, 5, 6, 7 years you spend paying off that debt versus the other 40, 50, 60 years of life, that's a big difference. That changes the trajectory of your life. Think about it that way. Happily, I will be paying off one of those debts in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I'm hoping by the end of January, but probably by middle of February. So I'm really excited about that. Keep track of your progress, but when you're keeping track of it, do it in a loving way. Like, don't freak yourself out. Just be like, wow, like I made progress. I'm really proud of that. Finally, just make adjustments as you go along. Keep focused and just be kind to yourself. So that is the show for today. I hope it was helpful. I hope that you're not stuck trying to figure out that perfect process. Just figure out the perfect process for you that you can actually focus on. Tomorrow's episode is all about the importance of creating a money manifesto. It's a slightly, I don't know, avant-garde kind of idea, but it's a slightly different idea, I think, but I think it's a very important thing to do for you. So I think it's a very important thing to own and think about and create, because many people don't spend enough time really talking about their money with themselves. And that manifesto is a very aggressive way to state what you want in your financial life. So thank you so much for listening. Again, subscribe to the show. Leave a review, and I hope you're having a wonderful 2018 so far. It's only been a few days. Please do share the show with other people. Please don't forget that Girl Gone Frugal Again is an audio production of Michelle Is Money Hungry.